blue Christmas service this evening. It is good that we are together to be able to worship God in a slightly different way than we do through the rest of Christmas season. Most of the service will be up on the screen, and we can follow along that way. Let us begin with the call to worship. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never been able to extinguish it. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up quickly. The Lord will always be with you to save you. God's presence will protect us on every side. When you call the Lord, we'll answer. When we call for help, God will say, I am here. Let us rise and sing together, O come, Emmanuel. Let us pray together. Our loving, holy, good God, we gather in your presence this evening at your invitation and call that we may gather as the body of Christ, as the people of St. Paul's, to come before you in a season of celebration and yet in a season where it is all not always celebratory. We bow before you humbly, acknowledging you as God, as Lord, as Creator of all, as Savior in Jesus Christ, and as the God present with us by your Spirit here even now. Bless us with the knowledge of your presence tonight. Bless us even with the experience of your presence tonight, that we might encounter the living God and that we might know you even as we are known by you. Bless us with your grace. Forgive our sins, heal our brokenness, and make us new, that we might live for you this day and all days. Our God, all this we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening we are reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Let us hear God's word. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Through the prophet, God said, comfort, comfort my people. On the surface, it seems to us to be a call to chill out, to relax, not to worry, to calm down, to be peaceful. It is one of the Old Testament passages that we read at Christmas, but Christmas is not always comforting, or at least it's not comforting for everyone. Christmas can be difficult, and that is why we are here. It can be difficult because of loss, the loss through death of a loved one, or the anniversary of the loss of a loved one. It can be because of a loss of health or a loss of employment. It can be this time of year where the days are short and sunlight is scarce. It can be because we are alone, or because there is such expectation for us to be happy, and it's not always easy to do. Christmas can be difficult because of separation from those we love that live at a distance or are separated from us because of damaged relationship. It can be because it's been a tough year. It can be that we've had high expectations in the past that have yet to be realized, and maybe this will be the year, but it never actually seems to be the year where the expectations are all realized. And we can face disappointment in a variety of ways. Broken, damaged relationships. There are many things that can make Christmas difficult for us. Comfort, Comfort my people, says your God. Do those words feel like they fit for you? Let's look at them. Isaiah wrote, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. These are God's words to his people. And the people were anything but comfortable when God spoke them. God spoke these words to his people who were in exile in Babylon. These were people who had lost everything. They had lost their homes. They had lost their country. They had lost their place in the world. They lost their community. They would have lost friends and family members in the process, if not through death, separation. They even felt separated from God, cut off from God, because so much of what they knew God to be was tied to the land, to the promised land that they had been torn away from. And it was into that that God said, "Comfort, comfort my people." Now we need to note that the Bible never provides easy answers to life's hard questions. We speak of grace as a free gift given to us in Jesus, and that might sound easy, but there's nothing easy about the grace that God gives us in Christ, because there's a cross involved in that. So this comfort of God has nothing to do with cheap promises and wishful thinking. The promises of God have nothing to do with cheap promises and wishful thinking. This comfort flows from God's grace and his sovereignty, his holy power. Through the prophet, God told the people that he had a plan, that he was going to bring them home and provided them with hope, real, tangible hope. And that was available to them, because though the people were like grass and flowers that withered and failed and faded, that's a note to us when we hear that people are like grass. It's a note to remind us that we are not God. That God is God. And even being called grass, there's something comforting in that, that God is still the Lord. And the promise of his plan proclaims that God is eternal, that God's word is eternal, that God's promises are eternal, and that he will see his will done even when it looks impossible to us. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. The Lord's promise included his coming to his people, coming with power, coming with his mighty arm, coming with his reward, coming with his recompense for his people. Of course, God's ideas are not always the same as our ideas. God's idea of power, though it sometimes reflects our ideas of power, but God's coming in power, as we see it here in Isaiah, meant God coming born of a virgin, born with no room for him, born a helpless babe. God came in power in Jesus with the power of love, the power of grace, the power of self-sacrifice, the power of the cross, the power of resurrection. And he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. In his power, the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And this passage tells us three things that shepherds do. Shepherds gather. Jesus gathers us. Jesus gathers his people to himself. His gathering is to bring us home to God. And he includes us, even us, as he gathers his people together. Wherever we are, whenever we are, however we are, Jesus gathers us to himself that we might know his true home. Isaiah tells us that the shepherd Jesus carries. He carries those who are in need to be carried. He carries those who have need of extra care, those who aren't sure they can take another step because life is wearying, those who feel lost and alone. The Lord carries. And he gently leads us. He leads us gently, softly, calmly, tenderly. He does it gently, but he leads us. We're not on our own. We're not left to our own devices. We're not left to finding our own way. He calls us to follow him wherever he goes, to show us his plan in his word. He leads us into the life eternal he has in store for us. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. To a people in utter distress, but a people to which he makes his promises, his sure and certain promises of coming to us in the power and the grace of Jesus. And he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Amen. Let us pray. Our loving God, we thank you that you speak comfort into our lives at all times, when we are in the midst of joy and when we are in the midst of true distress. And we acknowledge that we don't need to be told to be comforted when things are going great. But we thank you that in all seasons you speak to us, and even in this season you speak your word of comfort to us, your promise of comfort in Jesus, your promise of coming to us fulfilled in Jesus, and the promises we know because Jesus is our good shepherd who gathers us, who carries us, and who gently leads us. We give you thanks, O God. We give you praise. And we offer these prayers in Jesus. Amen. We are going to sing again. This may be a song that you might not know. We are going to hope that there are people who know it, because I don't like leading songs unless I have a whole bunch of people around me, but we're going to give this a shot. Let's rise together. We will now move to our liturgy of the candles.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world.
Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
We light this candle to remember those persons who have been loved and have been lost. We pause to remember their names, their faces, their voices, the memory that binds them to us this season that anticipates Christ. May God's eternal love surround us.
Reading from Isaiah 42, verse 5. This is what God the Lord says: "He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who breathes, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." We light this second candle to redeem the pain and loss, the loss of relationships, the loss of health, the loss of jobs, and the loss of financial security. As we gather up the pain of the past, we offer it to you, O God, asking that into our welcome hearts and open hands you place the gift of peace. Refresh, restore, renew us, O God, and lead us into your future.
Then I'm reading from Revelations Chapter 21, 1-5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be with his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. One who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We light this third candle to remember ourselves this Christmas time. We pause and remember the past weeks, months, for some of us, years of downtime. We remember the poignancy of memories, the grief, the sadness, the hurts, and the pain of reflecting on our own mortality. Let us remember that dawn defeats the darkness.
I am reading from John 1, verse 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Am I reading the right thing? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
And anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light.
We light this fourth candle to remember our faith and the gift of hope that God offers to us in the Christmas story. We remember that God, who shares our life, promises us a place and time of no more pain and suffering. Let us remember the one who is the way and who goes with us into our tomorrows.
I would invite you and encourage you to come forward. If you received a candle when you came in the door, that is great. If you didn't, there are a few that are up here. And I would invite you to come and light your candle off of one of these candles that we have at the front and to hold them as we stand at the front and we sing our next song and then enter into a time of prayer.
Thank you.
We will pray together in unison, and then we will be silent for a moment, and I will guide us through this. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for those we love and who loved us. We are grateful that they are part of our lives. We pray that nothing good in their lives will be lost, but will be of benefit to the world, that all that was important to them will be honored by those who follow. We thank you for the friendship they gave and for the strength and peace they brought. We thank you for the love they offered and received in life. Let us reflect on them. Let us continue to pray. We thank you that in Christ we are forgiven for those times when we failed those we love in word and by our actions. We ask for healing of those deep wounds, for the times when our trust was betrayed, or when we felt abandoned, or were angry. We ask that through our family and friends, through our hearts and our minds, in our courage and in our consciousness, that which needs to be set aside, forgiven and forgotten, can be released and redeemed by your grace. Let us reflect on God's grace. Let us acknowledge that we are forgiven, and let us forgive. Let us continue to pray together. We pray for ourselves who are tested by sorrow and the changes that have happened in our lives, that we do not try to minimize our loss or seek refuge from it in words alone, nor brood over it so that it overwhelms us and isolates us from each other. God, grant us courage and confidence in the new life that you have promised. Let us reflect on the life that we have in Jesus. Let us continue to pray together. We ask these prayers in the name of the risen Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will remain at the front with our candles as we sing Silent Night. Light has splintered the darkness. Hope is ours once more. The light calls us forward. We remember the past and walk confidently into the future. Go from this place filled with the peace and love and the hope that we know in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.